And a lot of things we forget, they both betrayed him. But yet Judas has gone down. When you say who betrayed Jesus, the first word out of your mouth is always Judas. As a matter of fact, that name became so horrible that Judas was also the name of one of Jesus's earthly brothers, his half-brother. But the name afterwards became so infamous that anyone named Judas referred to themselves as Jude. That's how we got the book of Jude. And so we see that Judas is held up as such a terrible person. But there's a lesson to be learned, and I want us to learn it very carefully. You see, Judas started out with parents who had high expectations for him. They gave him a name that said, God leads. And I'm pretty certain they taught him the scriptures. So much so that when he was called by Jesus, he willingly went. He was chosen. And many times there's a great theological issue with the fact that Judas was chosen. And if he was chosen, how did he end up where he ended up? And it's a warning to each and every one of us who claim we know Jesus, who claim we're on our way to heaven, make certain you don't end up like Judas. Make certain you don't name the name of Jesus. Make certain you don't walk around saying God is good all the time. God is good. Make certain that you're not singing praise song. Make certain that you're not doing praise dancing. Make certain that even though you're doing all those things, you may still end up in a lost eternity. You see, what God is trying to show us through Judas is an outward manifestation of godly works does not mean you have eternal life. See, that's why on Tuesdays we're studying knowing God. Because a lot of folks think they know him, but they don't. Because many times we bring our knowledge of God down to a level where we can understand it. And that's when you get into trouble. Because in Isaiah 40, God says, who will you liken me to? Of everything you know in the world, what will you compare me to? And the answer is nothing. There is nothing on earth that we can say this is an example of God. So if you're going to know God, God has to reveal himself to you. Now, the thing about Judas is this. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He slept with Jesus. He ate with Jesus. He did all those things with Jesus, and he was still lost. Do you know that environment cannot guarantee you a place in God's heaven? You may be born in the church. You may eat all your meals in the church. You may go to school in the church. You may graduate from the church. You may work in the church. You may retire in the church. You may die in the church. But if you don't know Christ as Savior, hell is your home. You see, environment does not say or guarantee eternal life. When Christ was speaking on the mount, as you look at this, you realize Judas was there. when Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will end up in heaven. Jesus was there. When Jesus said, people will say, I cast out, I did things in your name. I casted out demons. And Jesus would say, I don't know you. I was a pastor of a 3,000 congregational church. I don't know you. A number of years ago, I was speaking at a church in New Jersey, and a man came forward when I gave the invitation. And as I spoke with him afterwards, he said, sir, I have been in a deacon in my church for 10 years, and I realize I'm not saved. Thank God the Holy Spirit convicted him of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come. And that he made the Lord of his life. He was offered every outreach that Jesus had, but yet his heart was far from Jesus. You know why? He loved money. He loved money. The Bible gives us an anecdotal information when a lady came and washed his feet with expensive perfume, and he said, oh, we should sell that and give it to the poor. And the Bible said he didn't care about the poor. He said that because he was a thief. You see, because his pretense was so good, the disciples made him the treasurer. I am sure he had an engaging personality. I am sure he was a man of intellect, because he was from Kerioth. That's why his name is Iscariot, Judas Iscariot, Ish, the Hebrew word for man, Kerioth, man of Kerioth. And they believed that they were well-educated, et cetera, more so than the Galileans. He was the only non-Galilean among the disciples. So he probably thought he was better than them. Ever meet people who think they're so slick that oil runs off their back? They can get away with saying and doing anything? And he pulled their wool over their eyes, but he didn't over Jesus, because Jesus said, you know, I've chosen 12 of you, but one of you is a devil. Interesting comment. He knew. He knew what Judas would eventually do. Don't think he didn't know. He's Son of Man. He's also Son of God. But he still reached out to him with everything and gave him the same level playing fields that all the disciples have. Let me tell you this. God has reached out to you with everything. You have the same level playing field as every person that has have heard the word of God has. And when you stand before him, you cannot make up any excuses. If you've rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior, because he reaches out to each and every one of us. The problem is, how will you respond to God when he reaches out to you? The interesting thing is, don't think Judas was such a bad guy, because when Jesus says, one of you are going to betray me, every disciple said, is it I? That means they all had some kind of sin inside that got them nervous. Because if they thought they were okay before the Lord, they would say, well, it ain't me. They would all turn and look to Judas and say, it's you, brother. But each one of them asked a question. You know, if you name the name of Jesus, you must constantly look in the mirror and say, Lord, is it I? See, a lot of us get complacent who know Christ as Savior. And we don't think we offend God anymore. We think whatever we say and do is okay. You know why? We don't know God. He says, your very thoughts condemn you when it comes to me. We think of the big sins. Well, I don't run around and I haven't killed anyone. You know what Jesus says? Let me tell you what the Bible means about thou shalt not kill. If you looked at someone and they did something and you said, boy, I wish they were dead. He says, you've committed murder. That's what God means. Why? Because before the act comes the thought. And bad thoughts separate you from God. Any murderers here now, based on God's definition? You see why you need a savior? You cannot do anything or have anything within yourself to satisfy a holy God. You can't. That's why Jesus came, to do what you could not do, which is to enable you to get right with God. Now, when I think about Judas, I think about the fact that here is a man surrounded by God. By God. By God's word. The parable of the unjust steward. The message of the wedding garment. The fact that Jesus even said, if you betray the Son of Man, he says, you're going to feel so bad, you're going to wish you weren't even born. Woe is he. And yet for 30 pieces of silver, he betrayed his Lord. He betrayed his Lord. What is it that you hold in higher esteem than God? The funny thing about God is he lets us learn from life's lessons that we need him. A young man playing football gets hit. He staggers. He falls down. First responders surround him. But you know what I noticed? The ball players were on their knees. The announcers, our prayers are with him. Think about that. They weren't looking at the skill of the first responders. They realize when it comes to eternity, there's only one person with the answer, and that's God. And so everybody, a nation, is praying. I didn't hear those who yell, no prayer in school that time. I didn't hear any atheist saying there is no God that time. I bet you if he said it, he would have been stoned. When it comes to your eternity, you better realize that things on earth cannot help you. Death is separation of the soul and spirit from the body. And God breathed into body, and he says, the soul and spirit is mine. And at any time, I could call it in. They were praying. I'm still waiting for those same announcers to now thank God for sparing him. That's how we treat God. So don't think you're any better or I'm any better than Judas. We all betray him one way or the other. So Judas is with Christ all these years, and you know what? He never gets to understand that Jesus Christ is God. No matter how many times Jesus said it, no matter how many parables Jesus gave, he never understood that Jesus Christ is God. And that's where many of us lose out. Jesus Christ is a good teacher. He's a great prophet. He's like Buddha or Muhammad or all these other things. And we never come to the understanding that Jesus Christ is God. You see, that makes all the difference in the world in terms of how you will respond to the word of God. The Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must or can be saved. There's no other name. You can change your name. You can change your clothing. You can do all these things. And all you're doing is changing your appearance. When it comes to God, he says, has your heart been changed by me? And if it hasn't, when your soul and spirit leaves your body, you're headed to a lost eternity. Now, the thing about the difference between Judas and Peter, as I close, Simon Peter not only wept, he repented. That means he had godly sorrow. He decided that I was wrong, Jesus is Lord, and I have to make him Lord of my life. Look at the difference. There's a thief on the cross. And that thief is making fun of Jesus, two of them. And as you read the Bible, it says one of them realized who Jesus was. And he stopped. And he said to his friend, wait a minute, we deserve what we're getting, but this man has done nothing to be up here. But he didn't stop there. He then realized that when he dies, this person on the cross, I still have to meet him. And so he repented. Here's how repentance. He turned to him. He says, Lord, remember me. Remember me. Remember me. What he was saying is, I deserve what I'm getting. I'm a sinner. You're the holy, spotless Son of God. What are you doing here? But somehow, some way, I don't understand it, but I'm going to have to face you again in eternity. And when I do, please remember me. There's a song sometimes the old folks used to sing, isn't there? Not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Remember me. And Jesus turned to him. He didn't turn to the other guy. He just turned to the one guy. And he said, this day you will be with me in paradise. You know what makes paradise paradise? Jesus is there. I like when you go to funerals and they say, oh, he's in a better place. I always say, where? Disney World? What are you talking about? If he knows Christ, you better say he's with his Lord. That's the better place. The only better place is where Jesus is. Any other place, guess what? It's your place. Look at this. In Acts chapter 1, oh, I love the Bible because any questions you have, if you keep reading it, God will answer it. And so Jesus has ascended and he's told them to sit and wait and pray. and then you will get power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 13, it says they entered into the upper room where they were staying. And look at this, Peter, there's his name again, first, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. That's only 11 names. Why? Because the 12th one killed himself. And so they're choosing a new one. And Peter now says in verse 16, men and brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his intestines or guts gushed out. What Judas did when he realized that he had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, he said these words, I have betrayed innocent blood. Do you know that every accuser that pointed a finger at Jesus had to close with the word, he's innocent? Pilate said, I find no fault in him. He's innocent. The betrayer said, he's innocent. But he never went back to Jesus. And so he went out in the field and he hung himself, and he couldn't even get that right because the rope broke and he smashed his body on the rocks and all his guts came out. And they call that Potter's Field. And he was the first one buried there. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man and woman, and that way leads to death. Here's how I can prove to you he didn't understand who Jesus was, because he thought by committing suicide, he had ended it all. But remember what the thief on the cross said, remember me. He forgot he had to face Jesus in eternity. And so in the book of Acts, as they're talking about that in chapter 1, Peter says these words that you and I should always remember. And this is what he said. It says here, and it became known. He says in verse 25, after they choose one to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judah by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Now, Jesus told his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. That's my place. Judas went to his own place. I wonder where that place was prepared that he went to. Where is your place prepared that you're going to? Are you going to the place that Christ has prepared for all those who love him? Or are you going to your own place? It's a sobering thought, sobering question, and one that will cause us over time to always consider. I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 8. For even if I make you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I perceived that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance, verse 9. For you were made sorry, how? In a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. How? What does godly sorrow do? For godly sorrow, verse 10, produces what? Repentance, what? Leading to salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of this world produces death. Ever had someone do you something and they say, I'm sorry? What kind of sorrow was that? Godly sorrow leads to repentance. What does repentance do? Repentance says, Lord, I have sinned against you. And I want Jesus Christ to come into my soul and be Lord of my life. And I'm going to stop going down the path, stop thinking I know it all. I'm going to do all that and submit my will to you. For I realize that you are the true and living God. And it's only through you I can get eternal life. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any person should boast. So have you exhibited godly sorrow? Not are you singing in the choir? Not are you preaching? Not are you a good person? Not that I'm a sinner, he's a sinner, but you know, everyone does a little bit of sinning. Have you at one point in your life exhibited godly sorrow so much so that it led to repentance? If you haven't, then the word of God says, examine yourself in the light of God's word so that you don't go to your place when you step into eternity, but you go to the place that Jesus Christ has prepared for you. Eternal God, our Father, as we would close now, your word will not return unto you void. And there's someone here, oh God, who the Holy Spirit is speaking to. And as we hush our hearts before you, that through the silence they can hear the still small voice. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we ask that your Spirit will take these words and sear it unto their hearts, that they may exhibit that godly sorrow that leads to repentance, which leads to salvation. Oh, Father God, there's so many people that have fallen for the lies of this world. Just be a good person and you'll be okay. Go to church and you'll be okay. Do good deeds and you'll be okay. And your word says it's not by works. It's only through faith in Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray for each and every head that's bowed. Even those who call themselves believers, I pray, oh God, they will examine themselves in the light of your message. And Father God, we know that you're willing to reach out and embrace anyone that will open their hearts to the Savior. So, Father, we thank you for your word, for it enables us to know more about who you are and what we should do in the light of who you are. It's a light that shines in the darkest corners of man's heart. And you're able to bring life and light in a world that's dead and dark. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.